Hi, my name is Gail Whiffen Coyle. I'm the associate editor here at Friends Journal. And today I'm super happy to be speaking with one of our March poets. His name is Brian Monte, and he is joining us from the Netherlands. Thanks for joining today, Brian.
Hi, Gail.
So, like I said, Brian submitted a poem for our disability and inclusion issue. This is our current issue, March. And the title of the poem is No One Ever Asks. And I've asked Brian if he'd be willing to read it for us, and he agreed. So go ahead, Brian.
Thank you, Gail. No one ever asks. I only attend once a month when my allotted cab ride takes me and my wheelchair 50 kilometers further north. When traffic is light, I arrive early and wait on the sidewalk at the foot of four steps that lead to a locked door. I will come as long as my arms can still lift my chair and my fanny. Up one step at a time. The toilet's another challenge. Too narrow for my wheels, I walk the walls with my hands and leave the door unlocked. After meeting, someone usually brings me a coffee when I take out my pills, but no one ever asks why I never stay for lunch or monthly business meeting, both up the long, steep staircase to the second floor.
Thank you very
You're
much for
welcome.
reading that. And I should also mention Brian is a member of Amsterdam meeting, which is part of the Dutch yearly meeting. And so I'm assuming that was about the Amsterdam meeting house that you attend.
Yes, we're in a historic meeting house that was built probably in the 1890s along the Vondelpark there.
Wonderful. And so you told me that you had saw that we, extended the deadline a little bit for this issue and thought about what you could contribute. So what really motivated you to write this? How did you come to write it and how long did it take?
Well, it's one of a series of 23 poems in a chapbook about multiple sclerosis. And I saw the ad and I thought, well, come on, Brian, it's time to step up to the plate and contribute something for Friends Journal. So I wrote this poem, which came very quickly in about 2 or 3 days. And usually it takes me about a month or longer to write anything and finish it. And I sent it in, and I thought, well, I hope they take this one. I think they will. And you did.
Awesome. So you are working on compiling these 23 poems into a chapbook right now. Have you written much on your experience living with multiple sclerosis, or is this a newer thing that you've taken on?
Well, I've been writing about it since January 2014 when I went to a writer's workshop. And someone says, well, I like your historic poems about other people in dramatic monologue, but what about your life? What about what it's like to have multiple sclerosis? So I started writing poems then in January 2014. That was Jeffrey Schatz at Grey Wolf Press in Minneapolis. And so now I've got 23, a little over 2 years later or so.
Little over 2 years later. Okay. And how long have you been living with MS?
Well, I got it when I was 17, but I was diagnosed with it when I was 49.
Oh, wow.
So,
Okay.
yeah, there were all sorts of little surprises along the way. Why am I so clumsy? Why am I dropping things? Why did I forget that appointment? Yeah. And then somebody, well, I finally had such an enormous episode that I was put in hospital. And some bright young intern, after I'd been there for 10 days, finally decided to scan my brain, do an MRI. And the little gray spots lit up like Christmas tree lights. So they said, well, you know, you've got MS, we're very sorry, we can't do anything to cure it, but here's something for the pain, and they sent me home.
Okay. And, yeah. And when was that diagnosis?
2008, October 2008.
Okay. And how long have you been in a wheelchair?
The last 2 years, about. I can still get around with a walker for short distances on a good day. On my bad days, I need to have my little helper there ready to get around.
Who's your helper?
No, I mean the...
Oh, I see.
I mean the wheelchair.
Yeah.
The little... Yeah, and also I've got my partner that helps me out. Okay. I can take the disabled van into Amsterdam, which is what I do once a month to go to meeting. That's what the poem's about.
Right.
And my partner, he usually makes sure that I'm all set up in the meeting room okay. He gets me up the stairs sometimes. Sometimes I go without him, too. There's other times. We just bought a dog recently. Mm. So this last time I had to go on my own. And then when I was sitting there on the steps, somebody from Utrecht from the meeting came along just as I was there. So that was good. So it solved the problem of how do I get the chair up the steps and into the meeting house.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
So it helps to have the human partner and then your chair partner and those things combined.
Yes, and I'm very dependent on the kindness of strangers sometimes when I'm out in the city.
Yeah. Okay, and so I read in your bio you've been living in the Netherlands for 23 years.
Mm-hmm.
And how long have you been a member of Amsterdam Meeting?
Well, since either 2009 or 2010, I think. I think I applied in 2009. And then I think that there was a delay due to some administrative work that had to be done and the visiting with me and the clearance committee and things like that. So I think all the paperwork was done by 2010.
Okay. And were you a member of a meeting before that? How did you come to join Quakerism?
Well, I had wanted to join Quakerism when I was in high school. I attended West Park Friends with a woman down the street from me. That's an evangelical Friends church. See, in Ohio, we've got four different kinds of Friends. We've got unprogrammed, completely still, quiet. We've got, what's the other one called? The one that's from Indiana, that they've got programmed and unprogrammed time together. Then you've got the evangelical, which is mostly programmed mm-hmm. with the pastor. And then we've got the plainclothes Quakers that are sort of like the Amish that are down where my dad grew up, down in Tuscarora and Holmes counties down around there.
Yeah.
So I went to Haverford for a year when I was 18 on scholarship. And I really wanted to get into Quakerism there. But unfortunately, when I went to meeting to chapel, I was the only one from college there. Along with a professor and somebody else from the neighborhood.
You were the youngest person.
Yeah.
Okay.
So it wasn't quite what I was looking for at the time, although I was a member of Quack, and we went to campouts and things together. That was a blast. I love Quack.
What does that stand for again?
Quaker Activities Club.
Oh, okay.
At Haverford.
At Haverford. Oh, that was part of Haverford. Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome. What sort of activities would you do?
Well, there was a hike along a frozen river in the Poconos, and we were in a cabin, and we slept overnight in our sleeping bags, and there was a fire. There was also a hearth, an open hearth at the time at Friends Meeting there at Haverford. I don't know if they still have that or not, but that was really nice going there to meeting on Sundays. When that was
It was a little bit like doing activities with Quakers as opposed to like activities that are Quaker.
Well, yeah, yes and no. Of course, there were times when we did things to support South Africa to try to banish apartheid, and we'd have a fast day where they didn't have the complete menu. They just had the menu the people in the third world would be eating. So, yeah, it was a part of life at school the year that I was there. Unfortunately, for financial reasons, I couldn't really go more than a year to Haverford. It was pretty expensive at the time.
All right. And so I'm wondering if have people at your current meeting, have they seen your poem in the issue?
Well, I haven't really asked because there's usually a delay before we get our issue. It hasn't shown up in the meeting house yet.
Okay.
So I haven't really mentioned it to them yet, but they're pretty internet savvy. I mean, maybe they have seen it, but nobody's mentioned it to me yet. So.
Okay. Yeah, I was wondering if there have been conversations about it, about your experience and how people could help more in different ways.
Well, I don't know. I have mentioned maybe once or twice that I wasn't able to get up to the second floor, which is where they hold the, the monthly meeting for business, which is next to a full kitchen they have. Mm-hmm. The kitchen downstairs at the meeting house, they share that with other people, so they're not able to prepare meeting. They're not able to prepare meals there. I understand that.
Mm-hmm.
So, it's an old building, and it's a problem that comes up pretty often in Amsterdam. I try to go to places that are accessible, but, you know, meeting once a month is where I don't draw the line. I mean, I try to make as much of an effort as I can to overcome the obstacles to get there and to be there for the silence or the messages, whatever's going to happen that Sunday.
Yeah, I mean, I notice there's a trend or a theme, a common theme among many of the authors that submitted for this issue, where they notice something about how it is difficult for them to be fully included in the community, whatever it is, a physical obstacle or not being able to hear. There's one woman that is partially deaf that submitted, and she wasn't able to hear the actual messages. And it's a matter of, like, feeling comfortable enough and confident enough to share that concern, and then trust that your community sort of responds to that need. But it can be difficult and scary for anybody to ask for help, you know, no matter what your level of disability or ability is. So, I mean, I just appreciate that we have all these different voices put together in one place, and we've been seeing, you know, comments and discussions happening online where people are really just being more conscious and more aware of the individuals in their community and what everyone's specific needs are. You know, we all have them.
That's right. But as I said, in Amsterdam, with all of those old buildings, many of them from the 17th century, and those steep staircases, they would have to get you on the lift with the hook out front, practically.
Yeah, to just bypass the staircase completely.
Some of those places, and have someone swing you into the window to get you in. Unless they were to actually physically build one of those translucent lifts or whatever that they got out of glass, and drop it all the way through, which not very many people have done that here in the Netherlands. In the UK, now that's a different story.
Uh-huh.
Everything is very accessible. Meeting houses, train stations. I think there's one train station in Great Britain, Penrith, where there wasn't a way for me to get down the stairs, and I would have to call ahead of time for somebody to take me down the steps.
Okay. Yeah, so then it's just a matter of whether the environment around you is accessible.
Right.
Yeah, Amsterdam does have a lot of old buildings. I've been there once in 2012, I believe it was, and it was only for a couple days, and we biked around a lot. There's a lot of bikes on the roads. And well, I also loved that there was like a specific bike paths. Bikes are just really respected there, which is different from many of the U.S. cities. So,
protected bike paths are really great here, and it's not allowed to hit a cyclist. You can't say, oh, they came out of nowhere, I didn't see them. No. Nobody ever says that.
Yeah.
It's really a serious thing if you hit somebody on their bike and knock them off. So, yeah.
Right. Well, I think we're just about at our time. Thanks so much for talking with us, Brian. People can also find Brian's work online. Do you have a website of where your poems are, or they can find you?
I have my own literary website. It's Amsterdam Quarterly. If they type that into their Google search engine, it'll take them to the website.
Okay, great. And we'll have the link in the show notes as well.
Great.
And he was also part of the anthology that came out a few years ago called Gathered, Contemporary Quaker Poets. Brian is in there, and a French journal did a review of that anthology as well when that came out, and we'll link to that too. So I encourage readers to check out Brian's poem in the March issue. There it is in layout form. We hope to hear from you again, Brian. And thanks for joining with me.
You're very welcome. Have a good day.
Bye.
Bye-bye.